This is 90.9 WBUR. Good morning, I'm Bob Oakes. The city of Boston is experiencing one of the most rapid booms in construction in decades. Right now, there are roughly 70 new projects under construction, according to the Boston Redevelopment Authority. It's hard to miss all the cranes dotting the skyline. But how do these new building designs look to the trained and critical eye? Josh Slater is an architect and principal partner at Studio 3.0 in the South End. We asked him to lead us on an architectural review of some of the new shiny buildings, and he agreed. First up, the 27-story high-end apartment building, the Kensington, on Washington Street in Downtown Crossing, where the rents range up to $10,000 a month for a two-bed, two-bath.
It's a high-rise with some beige material and a glass front. What do you think of this building? It looks a little on the plain side.
It's exactly as anonymous as you're describing, and I think that's part of the problem, is that it doesn't recognize itself as anything.
And what about the way the developers have used their first floor opportunity right on Washington Street?
Well, I don't know if this is the final iteration of what's going to go in there, but it appears like it's primarily just designated for the residential building. I think it's essential if you're going to create a large development in the center of an urban neighborhood that you create an active first floor where you're providing amenities such as restaurants, such as shops that would be good for the neighborhood as a whole.
Second stop, a block down on Washington Street, another high-rise, described by developers as luxury urbanism. It's the Millennium Place building, where there's a two-bed, two-bath listed for sale at just under $1.3 million. Outside, passersby view a first-floor facade of brick and glass.
I think they were probably going for some kind of industrial-type look. If you're going to do a glass facade, make it a glass facade, or make it look, for example, like a factory. You kind of get their intention, but it's not realized at all. And I think if you're talking about the brick, I don't understand the use of this tan brick. I don't see how that relates to the industrial component that we've been talking about. Boston seems to love doing brick. And if you're going to do brick, there's multiple ways to do that. But here it just seems like I don't understand where they're going with the concept.
Down the street just a little bit, one of the most anticipated buildings going up in Boston right now, the Millennium Tower on the site of the old Filene's basement building. What are your thoughts about that piece of glass?
It's hard to know right now as it's only really in the early stages of construction. With that said, based on what we've seen so far, the glass facade, which can be detailed in many different ways, seems to be really elegant. The architect seems to be very cognizant of how to detail glass.
Big picture question. Do you think that these buildings in general add to the ambiance of this area? There's a lot of existing older design here, you know, early to mid-20th century, a lot of brick and concrete.
I think overall the development on the whole is a very positive thing. This Downtown Crossing specifically is a neighborhood that's been in need of this kind of development for some time. The fact that we're doing not just buildings but buildings of considerable scale I think is a positive thing.
From Downtown Crossing, we hop in the car and cross the Rose Kennedy Greenway to the booming Seaport District in Boston. We're right near the ICA, the Institute of Contemporary Art. There's construction going on all around us, as you can hear. This neighborhood seems to change every few weeks. What do you like about what's going on down here?
Well, fundamentally, this is a neighborhood that was, for the longest time, essentially a large parking lot, or at least it felt that way. There were a few warehouse mill buildings over on Summer Street, but the area directly abutting the water was essentially not used at all. The fact that we have this kind of building going on overall for the neighborhood is a great thing.
On the flip side, what don't you like about what's happening here?
If you look around from where we're standing, it looks effectively like it could be any office park USA. There's no definition whatsoever, and this is part of the issue in Boston in general is we seem to have this knack for creating relentlessly B-minus architecture. Everything is sort of okay, but nothing is exciting. Also, we should note that of these buildings, some of these are actual office buildings, others are residential, and you can barely differentiate between the two. And we should say that this isn't complete yet, so I'll reserve some judgment for when it's all done. With that said, it seems like many of these projects are ignoring the streetscape, ignoring the pedestrian ways, ignoring the way the average person walking around would use the public space.
It almost sounds like you're sending out an alarm right now, warning that the city is going to be challenged in creating a mature neighborhood down here.
I think that's a strong potential. I think when you create a neighborhood from scratch, it's important to remember it's a very hard thing to do, you know, and you're not going to get it perfect.
Josh wants us to view one more building, so we're off to Roxbury and the Bruce Bowling Building, named after the late Boston City Councilor. It's the new headquarters of the Boston School Department. At the heart of Dudley Square, its gentle V-shaped rehabbed original brick front joins the new brick low-rise office building behind it.
It is. It's a beautiful building in a lot of levels, and you could see how it's both respectful of the existing neighborhood and context, but also takes some of those cues and does a very modern take on it that's really successful.
Unlike so many of the other modern office buildings we've seen in our tour, this one feels warm and genuine and traditional for the city of Boston.
I think that's one of the reasons it's so successful. It's also important to note in the context of other things we've seen today, in terms of the role of development as a whole, typically you wouldn't expect a municipal building to be the catalyst for a new neighborhood, the way that, for example, a multi-use building might be with the active ground floor that we've talked about. Here, I think partially because of the success of the design, this is seen as that catalyst for this area.
Leading us around all the areas on our architectural tour of Boston was Josh Slater, principal architect at Studio 3.0 in the South End. To get a better understanding of the big picture approach to development in the city from the city's point of view, we sat down with David Carlson, senior architect at the Boston Redevelopment Authority. We asked if there's a single aesthetic vision for all of Boston's neighborhoods.
The city has been described as a city on a hill, but if you think of that hill as not any physical hill, but instead the notion of innovation, Boston has always been about innovation, and it is a city of neighborhoods. It's an asset of Boston that it's not easily categorizable as a city with a single vision. It's a city with many visions.
The city's growing at the fastest pace in decades, a surge in development that began really under Mayor Menino and in some ways before that, but it certainly accelerated recently under Mayor Walsh. What sort of challenges and what sort of opportunities does that present?
Challenges for the city is rising up and catching the wave and riding the wave as far as it can, using that force of development to infill the areas where the city could use better treatment. The tougher places are the ones that you can advocate for and get done when you have a boom like the one we're experiencing.
That's been long talked about. Are we having any success at that? You know, we have a lot of development in the Seaport area right now, but are we able to convince developers to also take a look at Mattapan, for example?
I do think that developers are showing an interest in almost every neighborhood in the city, parts of the city that need that extra attention, that need the force of good economics and good development to make happen. And Seaport is an example of something which has gone a little bit beyond that. But if we were talking 10 years ago or 15 years ago, it would be exactly the same thing. It was an old industrial area and a sea of parking lots. And it's in the middle of a transformation, which makes it difficult to judge right now. If you saw a picture of the Back Bay, for example, in the 1870s when landfill was still in progress, you would see a patchwork of blocks filled in. You'd see streets laid out, but spindly little trees just planted. You would have no sense yet of the neighborhood which, for example, the Back Bay is now.
So in some ways you're saying that for those who think the Seaport area is just simply architectural chaos right now, give it time and watch it develop?
Give it time. It'll be a slightly different neighborhood. But give it time, because the trees have to grow, the retail has to flourish, the ease of transition from one block to the next has to grow. There are too many things in the midst of construction. There's too many cranes, too many holes in the ground for it to hang together right now. That will come.
Mayor Walsh, as the overseer of development, so to speak, during his time in City Hall, seems willing to grow up, and when I mean up, I mean in height, creating a more dense environment per square foot. What's the overall impact of growing up on a city like Boston?
Very good question. The impact of growing up on a city like Boston can be very healthy for the city. In general, cities are all about density and a concentration of people coming together. I think the mayor is dead on in the notion that to grow the city up. Can the downtown take more height? Yes, it probably can. If you allow that kind of thinking, you will get proposals that you can't predict beforehand.
We have 600-foot buildings on tap. Can we go higher?
We have quite deliberately tried to push that envelope a little bit. So we have a 700-odd-foot tower under construction now near the Christian Science Center. We're not afraid of the height. We need to argue for the height. So the scales will vary, but to get the amount of residential product alone in the city that we want, we are going to have to grow everywhere in every neighborhood in the city and not just downtown.
Do you think Boston will still be Boston and feel like Boston once this boom has run its course?
I think Boston has very far-flung, very strong bones, and you cannot eradicate Boston. I mean, what you experience when you come to Boston is the nature of Boston. It's not just the physical fabric of Boston, and so both are going to endure. There's not a single architecture. There's not a single vision. It is a response to the local environment, which is enriches the whole city.
David Carlson, thank you very much for having us in the chat.
My pleasure, Bob.
David Carlson is senior architect at the Boston Redevelopment Authority. To see pictures of all the buildings we visited, go to our website, wbur.org.